She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 210, Making Your Hobby a Business with Abby Walker.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey friends, happy Monday. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast, and happy early Thanksgiving. Can't believe it is that time already. This past weekend, Mike and I actually, we moved out of our studio apartment and moved into a one bedroom and a den, and then we also got a Christmas tree because we're both traveling pretty extensively the 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, so we thought, why not put up a tree? And it's a real one, which is my first real tree ever, and I'm super stoked about it, and I'm excited because it also helps, it makes our place smell really nice. So anyway, today's episode, I'm hanging out with Abby Walker, who is the CEO and worldwide distributor of Vivian Liu, and her product is actually super cool because it's the insoles for heels that help women wear them longer without the pain that we all know too well. And the way that it is designed is that it makes it more comfortable, and it's safer in the sense for your foot so that you're not putting pressure down towards the front of your foot so you can wear it longer and it feels more comfortable. But in this episode, we talk about so many different things, and especially as you can tell in the title of this episode, about turning and making your hobby into a business. We talk about how she had to get to a place where she like really owned that this was her business and not just a hobby. And once she did that, things started to change. So also we talk about adjusting our mindset to that of a serious entrepreneur, be able to eliminate internal obstacles, become a better business owner, learning to clear negative memories to create positive energies, and know how to bounce back after your business hits a rough patch. She's also giving you guys, if you're interested in learning more about her product or even purchasing it, you can get 20% off by using her way code at checkout. So you can visit the show notes for all of that information as well. And knowing that we do podcast episodes every Monday and Thursday, and obviously this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. Not everyone who listens celebrates Thanksgiving, but it's going to be a bit of a solo cast. There's going to be some exciting announcements. And so definitely make sure you tune in at some point, whether you're traveling on Thursday or even Friday. It's definitely going to be worthwhile to tune into that. And I'm so excited to share some of the things that are coming up for 2018 and a Black Friday special. So I hope you enjoy listening to this interview with Abby Walker as much as I enjoyed chatting with her as well. Hello, 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 friends. We are back with another episode of the podcast. I have Miss Lovely Abby Walker on the show, and she is the founder of Vivian Liu. Abby, welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear your story and learn more about the product you created, because I have a feeling it will impact, or already has impacted, so many women. So why don't you tell us what it is that you do, and then let's talk about your journey and how you got to launching your product.
Sure. So I am the CEO of a company called Vivian Liu, and I sell insoles that empower women to wear high heels 4 times longer without pain. So I've always been a high heel fanatic. And so when I stumbled across this product in late 2014. I actually don't manufacture the product. I'm the exclusive distributor worldwide of this product. And so it's such an honor for me to bring this product. We offer 2 different versions, a classic and a couture version of the insole to women who either struggle to wear high heels or wear high heels every day and want to do so with less pain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, super curious. Why don't you tell us your story, what you were doing before Vivian Liu? How did you get connected? How did you become the exclusive rights access person to go ahead and distribute Vivian Liu? And how does that even work? is my question. And how do these shoes work? Because they must be magic, because I opt to wear flats because for me, heels are slightly painful. So I'm very curious about this.
Sure. So first I'll just kind of go into the technicalities of the insole. But in essence, they ever so slightly rotate the heel bone up and back. So it shifts weight to the off the forefoot to the heel. So there's an equal distribution of weight between the forefoot and the heel, and it stops your foot from slipping forward. So it really reduces the pain and pressure that women feel typically on the forefoot. So in a standard 3-inch heel, 75% of a woman's body pressure is on her forefoot. And so that's why we feel so much tremendous pain. Yes. On the ball of our foot and our toes and all of that sort of stuff. But yes, when you adhere our insoles into your high heels, it shifts a lot of the weight and center of pressure off of the forefoot back to the heel. So it feels more like you're walking in a flat versus a high heel.
Ooh.
So I know they're brilliant. I absolutely love them. And obviously I'm biased, but yeah. And the best part is they're invisible. So you can put them in any kind of shoe. So they're, you know, you can put them in strappy sandals and whatnot, open toe shoes. Nothing goes under the forefoot. So because most of the technology is located in the heel part of the foot, nothing goes under the forefoot to crowd your toes and shoes. So some insoles you have to buy like a half size up for the insole to fit in your shoe, and you don't have to do that with ours. They come in 4 different sizes, so you don't have to trim or try and force them into a foot or into your shoe. So they come in 4 different sizes, and they fit shoes US 4 to 12. So it's not a one size fits all product either.
Wow. Okay. So tell us, like, how did you stumble upon this? What were you doing before Vivian Lee?
Sure. So I worked in corporate America. I was in corporate marketing and communications for, man, probably 15 years. And I had just had my second child. And to be quite honest, I kind of felt like I had lost myself. Like I was this working mom. I was in corporate America trying to climb the corporate ladder. And I woke up one day and I was like, man, I've kind of lost myself. And I've always had this love of high heels. And so I started a shoe blog called Mama's Shoes. And I wrote very infrequently to the blog, but, and I had a whole whopping 36 followers, but it was something that made me feel like me again. So I wrote about high heels and products for high heels and whatnot. And one day I published a blog post in 2014, January 2014, that featured foot sprays. And these foot sprays were designed to alleviate foot pain and reduce inflammation. Great in concept, but when I looked closer at the ingredients, a lot of them featured lidocaine, which is the numbing agent that dentists use to numb your foot. Yeah. And so I'm like, well,
I don't want to numb my foot.
Yeah. I'm like, wearing high heels is difficult enough. Like, I don't know if numbing our foot makes any right. better to wear high heels. So I was like, well, what are you going to do about it, Abby? And I was like, I'm going to formulate my own foot spray using all organic natural material. And so I hired a clinical herbalist and a naturopathic doctor, and we formulated this foot spray, which I called Liquid Gold. I mean, I think it worked phenomenally. The only problem was, because it's a natural product, we could formulate it in small batches, but we couldn't replicate it when we went to mass manufacture it. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't have a lot of capital to throw at the product, so it kind of fell apart. And I was heartbroken. I mean, absolutely heartbroken. I'm like, this was my ticket out of corporate America. But I still continue to do some market research, and I stumbled across a forum where two women were talking about this insole called Insolia. And I thought to myself, why have I never heard of this? I wear high heels every day. I write a shoe blog and all these, you know, thoughts. So I actually picked up the phone and called the chairman of the company. Oh. And I said, why have I never heard of your product? And his response was, well, we're a bunch of MIT engineers trying to market this product to women, and we don't know how to get it off the ground. And so I offered, being a full-time working mom, you know, I was like, sure, I have extra time, but I offered to take, we'd look at a baseline, and then I would help market the product and take a cut of any incremental sales. And he came back and said, look, we're really not interested in continuing to manufacture this consumer product because it's not taking off. But if you want to take this on and become our exclusive distributor, it's all yours. And
whoa.
So, yes, literally this opportunity fell into my lap because I picked up the phone and asked one question.
Shoot. I mean, that's like the power of, you just never know what is on the other side. You just, like, it was a phone call.
Yes. And I will tell you, Picking up the phone and talking to people was not something that I like to do. I would have much preferred to send an email, but I was like, you know what? I have to get on. I'm just going to pick up the phone and ask the question. And so like, that was like part one of me stepping outside of my comfort zone,
though
it seemed so silly, like picking up the phone and talking to someone, but I would have much rather communicated via email. But that just led to a series of other events that where I kind of threw myself outside of my comfort zone that landed me on HSN, that got me into Oprah Magazine, that has really kind of opened several opportunities for the brand, which has been phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. But I'll tell you, I struggled. So I launched the brand in late 2014. So it was October of 2014. I launched Vivian Liu, and it was slow going for a long time. And to be quite honest, I think it was because I kept calling it my hobby business. So I still worked full time, and I was like, oh, it's okay. It's sales aren't going that well, but it's okay. It's my hobby business. Oh, it's okay. It's just a hobby. And so I think, you know, when you call your kind of side hustles or your dreams or what you want to do, if you keep calling them a hobby, I feel like the universe will treat them as a hobby.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So as soon as, and I did a lot of like self-work, like there was I resisted success. I didn't think I was worthy of running a successful company. I hated talking about money. I mean, there were some really kind of core things that I needed to overcome if I wanted to become a successful businesswoman.
Okay. I want to pause right there though.
Sure.
What was it? What type of work did you do to get yourself to realize or uncover all that subconscious and things around money and resisting success?
So I realized it right away when I launched Vivian Liu that there was something internally holding me back from taking it to the next level. And so I randomly had reached out to this woman who I connected with in my full-time job, and I told her I'd launched this business, and she had recommended that I speak with an EFT practitioner, which is emotional freedom techniques.
No.
It's like that tapping.
Yes. I'm in a course right now, and it's the woman, Molly Sapp. She's all about tapping, and like some crazy stuff has come up that has like dislodged and moved. And I was like, whoa. Sorry,
it's
continue.
It's just it's totally nuts. Crazy. And so when she first recommended this, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, like I YouTubed what it looked like and where you're supposed to tap. I'm like, oh my God, if my husband sees me doing this, he's going to like think I'm certifiably crazy. You know, like he can't see me do this. But I signed up for, you know, I talked to this gentleman who she recommended. I started working with him. We have yet to meet in person, but I swear this gentleman has changed my life. So we uncovered a bunch of different blocks from like my childhood and all this kind of stuff that I resisted. I didn't think I was worthy of success, and I resisted money and all this kind of stuff. So he changed my life. And then on the business standpoint, I hired a sales coach, Ursula Menchez, who runs Sales Camp now. And she forced me through her programs, not forced me, but she made me project out sales. And she's like, you need to be comfortable with your numbers. And they may not look pretty now, but one day they will look pretty. But you need to be comfortable looking at ugly numbers and pretty numbers. Mm-hmm. And so she literally had to walk around the table, put her hand on my shoulder, and help me fill out a projections spreadsheet, because I was so resistant to looking at money. And so as soon as she did that, you know, I was projecting out $100,000 years and then $500,000 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't as difficult as I thought it was. I owe a lot of Vivian Liu's success to Greg, my EFT practitioner, and Ursula, my sales coach. So,
well, I would love, like, if you could share some things of your experience with Greg in terms of what were some of the blocks and what do they look like? Because if the listeners are listening, maybe they're like, ooh, I think I might have a block. Like, what does it even look like?
Sure. So, and this is so funny. So I actually just published a book called Strap on a Pair, which is my journey from leaving corporate America to becoming a successful entrepreneur. And it goes into detail of to like those specific blocks, but I'd be happy to kind of highlight those here. So, I mean, they are as silly as sitting, like I having a memory, like this is during a session, and all of a sudden this memory pops up, and it's me in second grade doing a during a piano recital concert, and I failed horribly. Like it was so embarrassing, you know, like I hit the wrong note, and I continued to hit the wrong note. So then I'd walk back to my seat and I'd glance at my dad, like hoping he'd be like, "It's okay, you'll do better next time," or "It's okay, you know, don't worry about it." And unintentionally, he just kept looking at the next kid playing. But in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm not even worthy of eye contact. You know, like those sorts of silly, like, and so then you go through, then another memory, I was the oldest of four girls. And so my mom obviously did not have a lot of time for hair. So we unfortunately had some very awful haircuts as children. And for some reason, mine always ended up being the worst. And my mom was like, "No, it wasn't." I'm so sure enough, we flip back to family pictures and she's like, "Ooh, you're right. You did get the worst haircuts." But you know, in those memories, I'm like, I'm not even worthy of a good, bad haircut. You know, and so it's like all these silly things that are totally unintentional by either the adult or the friend or the sister or whatever who makes these comments, or not even comments, but you just kind of self-interpret these silly little memories. But they, as Greg, my EFT practitioner, says, he's like, these are kind of writings on your wall. And so you start to interpret these things like, you aren't worthy of eye contact. You aren't worthy of a good, bad haircut. You know, there was once, this is so funny, but like I asked my mom for a training bra and she's like, "You're not big enough yet. You're not going to get a training bra."
Yes.
Totally legit. And as a parent, you're like, that's a total legit conversation to have with a child. But in my mind, I was like, man, she's telling me I'm not even worthy of a training bra. You know, so it's no one's fault. It's just these are how you interpret things as children growing up. And so we did a lot of work. Like, you are worthy, Abby, of all of these things. And you are worthy of having a successful company and worthy of making a lot of money. And, you know, so it just kind of like one thing leads to the other. Mm-hmm. And so I know it's the silliest things, but they can have the biggest impact. And I was quite embarrassed actually at first to admit these memories to Greg, because I'm like, these don't mean anything. And then he's like, no, they actually do mean something. So let's just, and all of it, all the premise of EFT is to clear the energy of those blocked memories so you can move on. And mm-hmm. so it's just, you know, you identify it, you deal with it, and boom, you move on. And it allows, I feel like once you kind of clear your body or your memory or your being of these kind of stagnant memories that are holding you back, it allows the universe to provide so much more for you. Like you're creating a bigger cup for yourself when you clear out these blocked energies and silly memories.
Yes. What are, I'm curious. So did Greg have you do tapping and then anything else beyond tapping, like any sort of affirmation or exercises or journaling?
Nope, it was just tapping. And so I met with him twice a week for an hour. And we worked through a lot of stuff. And I continue to work with him just because it's amazing how much, you know, you deal with something and then something will trigger that memory again. So you just clear it. And it's just this constant kind of self-work of clearing stuff out of your memory bank and clearing your body of stuck energy to welcome better things.
Yes, I am totally with you. I had actually never heard of tapping prior to the course that I'm in right now, but it has been, I mean, it was because it's all about like money mindset. And so going back to the being worthy enough, and then you realize like all these childhood things are like, my parents both worked full-time jobs and then there was three of us kids. And so it was kind of a chaotic environment, but you know, showing up and going like playing your soccer games and looking over and not seeing any parent or like doing all these things. And then you realize like how it's subconsciously and neurologically is in like, it's impacting you without you even knowing it. And like, I was on a call yesterday, we do two calls a week. And yesterday's call, like Molly had asked me a question and I like got so emotional and I started crying on the call. And I'm like, how the heck, I'm like, is this jet lag or is this just like emotional stuff coming up? And she goes, girl, she goes, it's okay. And like other people are on the call and I'm like, well, let's just bear it all out here and like, let's be vulnerable. And I like continued to tap on it yesterday. And then I woke up this morning and tapped on it again. And it's amazing, like the resistance you have towards tapping it? Because you kind of subconsciously resist wanting to know, or like sometimes stay stuck. And she really talks about the victim mentality. Like sometimes we actually are playing victims when we don't even realize we're playing victims. That whole thing is like so fascinating.
And I don't know. I don't know if this is a female versus a male thing, but I feel like there are a lot of women out there who feel like they're not worthy of success or the next step in whatever it is. And whether you want to create a company or whether you just want to, you know, go to a yoga class, like you feel you're not good enough, or you feel like you shouldn't go there. You're not worthy to take that hour for yourself, to go do these things. And so, it's really funny. But it's so funny. I can't do tapping by myself. It needs to be guided. So that's why I meet with Greg twice a week. Cause I can't, for some reason, I just can't tap myself. I like, he repeats phrases, or he tells me phrases to say, and then I repeat them back to him. Mm. And I struggled with it for a long time, cause it was so like woo woo. And I'm okay with a certain level of woo woo, but I was like, this is beyond.
This is crazy. What is going on? Or I know one of Molly's one of her like freebie videos or things that you can download is manifest $15,000 in 24 hours. And you know, like sometimes it's like a turn off, and there's people out there that put out that stuff, and it's, to me, it's like some propaganda. But then I watched it, and like the content in there, I'm like, oh my gosh, like how you handle money is how like your parents handle money, or like the way that your mom does, and like what would your parents say about this? But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's, that was a huge part of my journey from being honestly a struggling an entrepreneur who was quickly accumulating debt, but I knew I had this phenomenal product and had to get it out in front of people. And so that's when I was like, okay, I started EFT, and then I started working with the sales coach, because I was like, I have to get out of my own way in order for this to take off.
When you say getting out of your own way, I mean, were you unclear about the direction of the business? Were you just unclear how to do sales, or like what the next step was? And
no, so I get out of my own way. I guess it was get out of my own head, like stop questioning, you know, stop believing that I wasn't worthy, stop questioning whether or not I was the one who was going to be the one bringing this product to market. Part of my struggle was because I didn't manufacture or own the patent on this product, I kept questioning, well, who am I to bring this to market? Like, why am I so special? And I was like, you know what? Well, dang it. You know, I'm the one who picked up the phone and asked the question. I should be, you know, the universe presented this opportunity to me, and I asked for it. And so now I need to make the most of it.
That is all me. Yeah, that is such a true question, that sometimes even like leaving your job and going out on your own, I know I used to ask myself like, what makes me so special that I get to create this life and live it, and how awesome it is. It's like we have to experience pain, and if until we like have to, we have to work really, really, really hard in order to get something so great and good.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily the case. I mean,
right?
You know, opportunities are presented all the time, and it's just whether or not. Sometimes I think if you have the guts to take the universe up on those offers. So,
yes, amen. So, talk to us then, like. So now you're coming up on 3 years of running the business. Like, kind of give us a high level of what it's been like running it for 3 years.
Sure.
And talk to us about some of the milestones and what allowed you to hit those milestones.
Sure. So like I said, I struggled for a long time when I first launched the business, I think because I was calling it my hobby business. And then once mentally I was like, I'm going to make this work, and I have to figure out how, opportunities started to present themselves. So my brother-in-law actually works for Kohl's Corporate, and he was at an event in New York City, the summer of 2015. And had met this woman called Rachel Scheckman, and she owns this amazing store in New York City called Story. At any rate, she has open calls for artists and business owners to come pitch their products to her for future stories. So she rotates her store every 4 to 8 weeks. She tears it down, rebuilds it, and has new inventory in.
Oh, wow.
So he came. Yeah, it's really, really cool. So in August of 2015, he told me about this woman and her store Story, and I applied for her next open call for people to come pitch their products. And typically at that point, it was just New York City artisans and business owners. And so when they got the application, at the time I lived in Minnesota, they're like, well, this is odd. So I think they're like, sure, yeah, come to fly to New York and, and pitch your story. So the night that I pitched Rachel, Mindy Grossman, who is the CEO of HSN at the time, happened to be there. And so did Tori Johnson of Good Morning America.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it was like an out of body experience. Now, I was the person who had trouble speaking in a meeting in front of three people. So, you know, for me to pitch these iconic women was just like an out of body experience. And 2 weeks to the day after the pitch, I got a call from HSN saying that Mindy loved the product and she wanted to fast track it. So that was in September. And then I was on air in January, sold out, selling my products on air. And then February, and then in April, I sold out as well. So I sold out my first three times on HSN. And at that point, I had convinced my husband, I'm like, I have to make this work. I want to figure out a way to make this work. And so he let me take the summer of 2015 off to try and make it work. And I failed. Not that I failed, but I wasn't able to cover my lost corporate salary. And so I had to go back to corporate America in the fall of 2015. Or excuse me, 16, because I wasn't able to cover my lost salary. And so at that point, I kind of mentally made I could have gone one ways. Like I had failed and this was just a good kind of project and maybe it should go back to being a hobby, or work your full-time job, work to the best of your ability, but you are going to take this thing to the next level. And that's the route I went. Excuse me. And so it was amazing. I mean, it was so much fun, and a lot of things happened. And through Tori Johnson, the product was featured on Good Morning America in late 2016. And at that point, it was just a tremendous opportunity, tremendous exposure for the company and for the brand. And we made a lot of sales. So I was able to quit my full-time job again, paid off all of my debt, and haven't looked back since. So it's been just a year and a month that I've been doing this full time and been able to cover my corporate salary and then some. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So then okay, just make sure I was following along with the timeline. You were running it as a quote unquote hobby, and then you took the summer off in 2015 to make it work, and which was about what, 3 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it failed.
And then so you went back into corporate America running the company in parallel. And then in late 2016 was kind of the big – the selling out and being able to then run it full time.
Correct. So it was a combination of the Good Morning America exposure, as well as I had finally figured out Facebook ads. And so between those two, I was like, yes, we had this big boost with Good Morning America. And then I had sustainable growth with Facebook ads, and away we've gone.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But what do you think changed then? Like, was it your mindset, or what was different about the second time around?
Yeah.
Because to your point, most people probably would have said, oh, I'm a failure. I failed at it. Didn't work. Okay, bye.
Yeah. I think a couple of things. One, I believe so much in my product that it was like no longer an option. It was, you're going to figure this out. And so it was like this burning desire, in literally, that was eating me alive inside, that I had to figure out how to get this product off the market or off the ground into the hands of women. And so it was that internal burning desire. It was my, I was dead set on figuring out how to make Facebook ads work. And so I just dove into it head first, and I had tried Facebook ads in the past and they had failed and I felt like they were a waste of money, but I really went, wholeheartedly into that kind of ad platform and figured it out. And there was one ad that clicked. And so it just kind of took off from there, and have been testing ever since and launching new ads and whatnot. But yeah, it's just, I think it was sheer determination that this was going to work out. Like, there was not an option. It was going to take off.
Not an option. I love it. What has it been then? So now in the past year, like maintaining and figuring out, do you guys do any sort of marketing outside of Facebook ads? And what outside of Facebook ads has been really a great source of revenue for you guys?
Sure. So, we Still do HSN. So I now manufacture an exclusive line of my insoles for HSN. So there's a line called Insolia Shimmer, Vivian Liu Insolia Shimmer, that's only sold on HSN.
Oh,
so that's one, revenue stream. And then we're also sold on Amazon. So we expanded into Amazon. And then we continue to do partnerships with like fancy.com or gilt.com. We're still featured in Story every once in a while. So, but really the main driver behind the business is Facebook and Instagram ads, and then email marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So last year was the first year that we were profitable. And I've been able to, 5x the size of my company this year.
Dang.
So it's been quite the journey. And
that's awesome.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Wow. Good for you.
Thanks.
How big is your team? And then what was that like bringing on other team members and growing the team?
Sure. So I've set my company up, and this could be wrong or right, but this is how I operate my business. We'll never take on investors because I don't want a boss, and I'll never have direct employees because I don't want to have that level of responsibility. The only people I want to be responsible for on that level are my children and my husband. Mm-hmm. And so I have a big team of contractors that I rely on. So, you know, I have a warehouse that does all of the fulfillment. I have packaging designers. I have Facebook ad folks, customer service I outsource. So big team per se, but none of them are direct employees of the company.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wow. Okay. So talk to us about like your day-to-day management and how do you stay focused? How do you determine and make sure your business is moving forward?
Sure. So my main mission as a business owner is peace and freedom. So I never want my business to run me. I want to run my business. And so I wake up super grateful every day that I get to do what I get to do because I make my kids breakfast, I walk them to school, and I come home and I work on my business until I go pick them up from school. So it is a tremendous privilege to be able to do this, and I'm so blessed. But I just prioritize. I have a lot of to-do lists. I prioritize. I run my business a lot on gut feeling, and I feel like your gut is somewhat of a muscle. Like the more you learn to rely on it, the stronger it becomes. Mm-hmm. I do what feels right in my business, in terms of partnerships and in terms of where to go. I've had opportunities to grow really fast, but they didn't feel right. And so I didn't pursue them. So the producer from Shark Tank actually called earlier this year and wanted me to be on Shark Tank. And I turned them down actually for a couple of reasons. One, I don't want investors. So why would I go on? And two, while it would be great exposure, I don't want to be known as a forever startup. And I feel like brands who are kind of tagged with the Shark Tank brand always are looked at as startup companies. And so that's not my vision for Vivian Liu. I think we're going to be growing into a much bigger brand and a much bigger company. And so I didn't want that kind of tag on the brand name. But
wow.
Yeah, and it's kind of a bold statement, but
no. I mean, thought. But like, so did you mull? Like, were you lukewarm and indecisive about the decision, or did you know immediately? You're like, nope.
I knew immediately. Like halfway through our conversation with the producer, I was like, nope, not for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, and I'm really, you know, that could be a bad business decision. That could be a good business. You know, whatever. I always trust my gut, and it was just a ping that you're not doing this. And so decided not to do it. And I don't look back very often and be like, oh, should I, you know, could I, but I do make mistakes. Like I took our product off of Amazon earlier this year, thinking that I could recoup those sales directly on my, website, which I can't because in this world, and it's so funny, all of my sisters actually are Amazon shoppers. So like they buy whatever's on Amazon. And so I should have known better, but, we're back on Amazon now and it's going great. But, so, I mean, it's just, you live and learn, you'll make mistakes, you'll fail. And I feel like as a business owner, the more you welcome failure as learning versus fearing failure, the quicker you'll grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. That, I mean, definitely easier said than done, but I'm
For
sure as
sure.
time moves on, it gets easier because you've experienced it more
Yes.
from
And I
that.
feel like, yeah, so I feel like learning to embrace failure and learning to trust your gut, like the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Well, so I have a few last questions for you as we wrap up. What was like your biggest learning and growth moment for you personally from learn like navigating entrepreneurship?
Sure. Don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle. And I know that's said a lot, but that was such a tough lesson for me to learn because I spent way too much time in the beginning of my journey comparing myself and my business to others. And I should have spent that time moving and taking action versus comparing and kind of feeling sorry for myself.
It's hard not to
It
sometimes too. And
is.
that's when like I find that if I'm trying to get really focused on something, I will just block everything out and just stay focused on that thing and head down so that I don't get distracted.
Yep. So that was one, was like, don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle. I be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I know that gets said a lot, but that's so true. And the more you throw yourself outside of your comfort zone, the quicker you'll grow and the quicker your business will grow. Yeah, I don't, there's just a lot. Keep moving. So like there, like you'll have bad days and you should just keep moving through them. And then you'll have great days where you're like, I'm never gonna surpass this day. Just keep moving. So I would say don't be blindsided by your failures, and then don't be blinded by your successes. Like just keep
Ooh,
moving.
I like that. Yes. I get like sometimes I feel even like I'm guilty of it. If I have a small success, it's like I let the foot off the gas for the like a hot
Yes.
moment, and then it's really actually I really need to be pushing my foot down even faster in that
Farther.
moment. Yeah.
Yep.
So, what is one of like what's a book that's really impacted you that you've read?
Big Magic. So, yeah, by Elizabeth Gilbert. So this her book came out at the time where I was still in corporate America, and she has this section in there which I absolutely love. It's called Eating the Shit Sandwich. And so every day I would wake up and I'm like, going to my corporate job and not working on my dream, I just have to eat this shit sandwich. It is what it is. It's part of the process. Don't get down, don't get discouraged. It's just part of it. So her book really, really resonated with me at the right time.
Oh, that, yeah, it's such a great book as well. This is, Abby, I can't believe, like, the time has flown by. This has been amazing.
I
And thank you for sharing all your wisdom and everything. Can you also, the last one is share with my listeners where they can find out more information about you and find out about Vivian Liu and everything that you've got going on. And I know you mentioned you have a book out too.
Yes, so Vivian Liu, you can find them at vivianliu.com, VivianLou.com. You can also get them on Amazon if you're an Amazon shopper. And then my book is actually on Amazon as well. It's called Strap on a Pear.
I love it's so like, what does it mean? No,
Right. It has pictures of high heels on the front, so.
oh my gosh, this is awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.